This podcast is part of the Everyday Heroes Podcast Network, the network for first responders and those who support them.
I was like, wow, like I've come a long way. And I personally didn't see it and didn't realize it.
Welcome to the Off Duty Podcast, the podcast where we interview the men and women of law enforcement and help you to learn about the person behind the badge. If this is your first time tuning in, thank you. My name is Anthony McNeil, retired police officer and your host. Let's get started.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to episode number 34 of the Off Duty Podcast. Once again, it's me, your boy, Anthony McNeil. I am super excited about this young lady that I have joining me today. If you are in law enforcement or the fitness arena and you're on IG, I can almost guarantee you you've seen this young lady around. She's crushing it online, doing her thing in the fitness arena. She's a 13-year vet out of the state of New York. She's been just killing it online. I encourage you to go over and check out her content. We're going to have her share her IG handle and all that stuff here in a little bit. But I'm super excited to have joining me today, Miss Ashley Smith. Ashley, how you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing awesome. I appreciate you hopping on with me and talking with me. And for all of you that regular listeners that listen to the podcast, you know what the first question is, and that's simply, why law enforcement?
Long story short, I found out I was an adrenaline junkie. I did an internship with a law firm, and the law firm was boring as all heck. I liked the judge portion of it. I wanted to be a judge, but you have to be a lawyer, and then you work your way up to a judge. So I was like, okay, let's try, you know, a police department. Did an internship with that, and within the first hour, I was just like in the passenger seat, like, this is amazing. Oh my God, I love this. I need to get up right now. And that was it. It was history ever since. I mean, I graduated college early, and 3 days later, I was in the academy. I was hired at 20 years
old. Nice. Yeah. I love asking that question because we all take such different paths to get to this profession. For me, I had no intentions on becoming a cop. I wanted to start a business, but at the time I was 27, 26 at the time, and no money, no credit or anything. And I was working in a restaurant, and the new chief of police just happens to stop by and introduce himself to the business owner while I'm standing up front. And he looks at me and he goes, you ever thought about being a cop? Yeah. But when he said that, my first thought was, hell, that's how I can get the money to start a business. Mm-hmm. And here we are. I did my 20 years and I retired in 2013 and now just enjoying life.
You know? Awesome. Thank you for your service.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Any other family members in law enforcement?
My uncle was in the air marshals, but that's it. Nobody else in law enforcement. Okay.
How did your family feel when you told them you were choosing this profession?
In the beginning, not so good. My parents were very worried, you know, didn't understand why of all careers. My mom was a lawyer, so that's why I did the internship with the law firm that she was employed at, because she wanted me to follow in her footsteps, so she didn't understand it. But as the years went on and they saw how much more confident I got, all the training I got, and just how much I loved it, they slowly but surely, you know, came along, especially if, like, I call my mom almost every single night, and if she hears anything in the background, like if the radio's talking, she'll go dead silent. And I'll be like, Mom, are you listening to the radio? And she's like, yeah. Or if I get lights and sirens, my dad will be like, be safe. It's just, it's cool now. Now it's like a big old family. So that's pretty cool.
Once you got into the profession, was it what you thought it would be?
Oh gosh, no. No. From just helping, you know, disgusting situations out to then the next day, you know, helping deliver a baby to almost getting shot at. Like you have no idea what it's like. Then go from the extreme, like these last 4 days at work, because it's been so nice here in New York, we call them the summer days. It's not supposed to, like, we were all bitching about it because it's like summer does not start until May. So why has it already started? Because it has been absolutely insane just with the DOAs that we had, like the different shootings. We're like, I'm like, this is absolutely crazy. But then you'll have really like low days where, you know, it's pretty chill and everyone's super nice, which is awesome. And then you get to do, you know, fun stuff with the community. But yeah, it is definitely nothing that I expected it to be.
Was it a big adjustment for you?
Well, let me put it in perspective. I, like you, so you were working at a restaurant. I was a model at Abercrombie & Fitch with zero life experience. So here I am out here, you know, trying to lecture parents about their kids. And I'm like, I'm still a kid. Like, I don't, why are they listening to me? What I'm doing? Like, I have no idea why they're even listening to me right now. I'm 21 years old. Like, I don't know what I'm talking about. You know? Yeah. It's just, it's funny. And I don't think it was a huge adjustment because I'm just like, kind of like go with the flow. Like I take everything as it is. It's a challenge, but definitely different than standing in front of a clothing store being like, hi, welcome to Abercrombie and Fitch to, oh my God, I'm 31, like interesting people, like three times my age.
Yeah. That's funny. You know, I was the same way. Cause when the chief came in that day, like I said, I had no interest in going into this profession. And 6 months later, I was in the academy and I loved it. I absolutely loved the job. You know, I did end up leaving in 95 after 3 years to start my business. And before I was gone for 14 months and the chief called me and said, I want you to come back to work. And I still have the business to this day. And I went back to work, did my 20 years. And
that's awesome.
Yeah. Like I say, just chilling and enjoying life right now. I want to go ahead and get into the first segment. And this is what I call Dig Deeper. For those that don't know, this is the part of the podcast where I get nosy and I go digging around my guests' social media posts. And I pull out several posts and I like to ask them questions based on those posts and get a little bit of insight into what they were thinking when they made those posts. And,
oh my goodness.
And for you, Ashley, like I said, can you just go here right now and just give out your IG handle so people can go over and follow you and check you out?
It's Officer Ashley Smith.
Okay. And I highly encourage you guys to go over and check out what this young lady is doing. Cause like I say, she is crushing it. So I had a lot of content to choose from, but I did narrow it down to four posts that I want to talk to you about. Okay. And the first one, it was a TikTok video that you made, different photos of yourself. And the caption read, "It's all about the journey. Fitness is a huge part of my life. And sometimes I forget to sit back, enjoy the ride, and be proud of all I have accomplished." You remember that post?
I sure do.
Okay. And my question to you, my first question regarding that post is, how did this fitness journey start for you?
So this is a really cool story because I can implement social media. So for nobody that knows me, I've only been on social media for 4 years. I was extremely against it. I see what happens when, you know, with guys at work, when I go on calls, I was just like, I don't need it. Like I have a really small group of friends. So I went on vacation and I started hanging out we all started showing each other memes. And I was like, well, how do I see these memes? And they're like, we have to get on social media to see them. Like, otherwise we'll just screenshot them and send them to you. So like I got a view on them and I was like, okay, I'm sick of getting screenshots. I'm like, I'll just join. And so my picture on Instagram was a baby duck for like a month. And just so I could view memes, I didn't follow anybody. Like I just wanted to look at these stupid memes. So then finally I changed my profile picture to a fitness post and I made a fitness post and it went viral. And I'll never forget it because I ended up messaging my friends and I was like, I don't understand what's going on. Like all these people are following me and like liking my stuff. I don't know who they are. Like, what does this mean? And I went from like, I want to say like 30 followers to like 1500 overnight. So again, here I am. Wow. I'm like, I don't know any of these people. Why are they following me? And I had one picture, just the fitness one. So I was like, okay. And that's when I was a runner. Didn't lift, nothing. So then I posted a police Christmas photo. And that went viral on almost every single law enforcement page around. And I went from 1500 followers to like 3,500 followers overnight. And same thing. I'm just like, I don't understand like what is happening. So I go to police week. I jump up to like 7,000 followers. I ended up breaking my ankle at work that summer. Mm-hmm. And I was about to run another half marathon and completely felt like I lost my identity. I had always been a runner like my entire life. Like I started running when I was in elementary school. So I actually went on social media and I was live and I asked my followers, I was like, hey, listen, like I'm out, you know, I can't do anything. What should I do? I can't do cardio, can't run. Like, I don't know what to do. And one of my followers is like, have you considered trying bodybuilding? And so I was a gymnast like my whole life. So I have a little bit of muscle, you know, underneath, you know, at that point, a running body, I was like skinny fat, people call it.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, like I just started looking up stuff and I reached out to friends and I was like, can somebody help me like learn how to lift and like, what should I lift? And I was Googling everything. And so I started doing that because I couldn't do anything. I couldn't do cardio. And that next year I was like, you know what? I think I'm going to do a show. Like, you know, why not? Like, I'll just throw myself on stage. And I competed in 5 shows my first season and got a pro my last show of that season right out the gate. First competition season, I became a pro.
Wow.
So with that very long story, the reason why I made that post is because this is my first year of taking a long off season. Okay. And so you go from show prep, you're down 30 pounds from what your normal healthy average weight is. And so sometimes you lose sight of what you have actually accomplished in that period of time doing shows because, you know, you're used to being so thin. So when you go off season, and I didn't have a really long off season, I just get self-conscious. I'm, you know, girls were always self-conscious, but like I got even more self-conscious. And then I started like going through and I was trying to motivate myself, honestly. And I started going through and I looked at all these photos and I was like, okay, like I need to hang tight and like stop complaining. Because when I did go through all those photos, I was like, wow, like I've come a long way. And I personally didn't see it and didn't realize it. And it kind of was like a self-check for me to just say, sit down, relax. Like everything happens for a reason. You're doing great. And that's just what that post was to me. It was just important. And I wanted to show that to other people that, hey, listen, like take a second, sit down, go through your photos of your past. Even if you've had ups and downs, that's okay. You know, it's all about the journey of getting to where you are and remember those good times and appreciate them.
Yeah. I'll dig into that a little bit deeper because you said a couple of things. The first thing, do you think that you would be as active in the bodybuilding portion now had you not suffered that injury when you were running?
Never.
Yeah, the reason why I ask that is because my wife and I had a discussion just a couple of days ago about how things are already kind of predetermined. And sometimes the path that we think we're supposed to take, something comes along and says, no, you're supposed to be over here, you know? Mm-hmm. And it sounds like that was the case for you. And during that journey, before I ask you that, what was the first picture that went viral? Do you remember?
Yeah. I still have these capris. They're capri leggings and they're black and blue. And I'm pretty sure it was a black tank top. And I was standing on my side and I took the phone and faced it towards the mirror. And so it's literally me just standing there. And the funny part is I look back and I'm like, oh my God, I thought I was like in such good shape. Like I have no booty. I have no legs. Like I have no definition in anything. And I'm like, oh my God, I was so skinny. Like, look at me. Like I was so little, so young. Yeah. I remember to this day, literally to this day.
Yeah. That's awesome. Another question regarding that post. During this journey that you've been on, what's been the highest point and what's been your lowest point during that time?
Same exact incident. I trained for the Arnold last year and I did 3 back-to-back shows, October to November. I took a couple months off. Actually, I think I was 4 weeks or 5 weeks off and I immediately had to go back into off season to train for the Arnold. And the highlight of my career is being able to say that I stepped on the Arnold stage because not many people get to that stage. It's a very prestigious stage. The low point of it was I had gotten when you get so lean to a point that's unhealthy, and I'll fully admit that we do get to a point that's basically borderline unhealthy. Okay. I got past that. I pushed myself too much. I thought I needed to do that. I quickly learned I did not. And I'll fully admit it. I had such bad anxiety. I was starting to get super depressed. My entire life revolved around making sure I did enough cardio, making sure I didn't, you know, eat a lot, follow my meal plan, skip meals if I could. And it was just, I couldn't talk to people. I couldn't be around people. Social interaction was exhausting. Work, I'd cry after calls for absolutely no reason.
Wow.
If I got held over at work, heaven forbid, my sergeant, I'll never forget, we had a DOA, shocker, and my sergeant told me to go get the camera and that AWATCH, I work CWATCH, 2 to 10, and AWATCH was coming on to relieve us, but he wanted us to do some stuff before they got there. So we just weren't sitting there doing nothing. And I'll never forget, I went back to go get the camera and I got into my driver's seat. And I remember during bodybuilding, you have to plan your meals out because I always ate my meal you know, like within an hour of getting out of work because I had to go do a second session of cardio. And I had already eaten my meal and I had no meals left for the day. And I got into my driver's seat and I just burst out crying, like hysterically crying.
Oh, wow.
Sergeant comes out and like, what is wrong with you? And I'm like, I don't know. And he's like, just sit here. And he watches on their way. I'll take the damn pictures. So that was a low point. And it also really was unfortunate because it was right when the pandemic hit last year and we couldn't have any fans. There was no expo, nobody in the audience. And normally they'll bring you out. You can do like your routine and your poses and you're on the stage for probably about 30 minutes. We were on the stage for 5 minutes. They marched us up, lined us up, did one turn, kicked us off. We walked all the way around, came back up. They crowned everybody. And then I had to switch my flight because we were done so quick. We were supposed to be there for 2 days and we ended up being there for one. So that was also like a bad taste in my mouth for how the event itself was run. I probably will never compete on that stage again. So as prestigious as it was also kind of a disappointment.
Yeah. No, Arnold as in Schwarzenegger, I'm imagining.
Yes. It's the Arnold and it's in Ohio. Okay. There's the Arnold Classic. It's the biggest competition in the United States. And then there's the Olympia. Mm-hmm. That's in Vegas, which they switched to Fort Lauderdale this year.
Did all that anxiety and everything come on simply because you were not able to work out?
Actually, I think it's because I got so lean and it just triggered stuff inside of me. I was just so, I think, just spent and burnt out from competing because I started my prep in September and now you're talking March. I'm still in prep.
Okay.
Nobody preps for that long. You usually prep for like 4 months max. And here I am September, October, November, December, January, February, March, 7 months I was in prep. So I think I just burnt myself out. And like this last year of being off season, this is the longest off season I've ever had. And I'm the healthiest I have been since starting competing. Like my body has completely rejuvenated itself.
Now you said you're currently a professional.
Yes.
Okay. Now, and the reason I ask, during that time when you get to that point, do you have a manager or someone that trains you or anything like that that I works with you? Did they recognize that you were at that point or going too far? Or?
So here's the thing with me. You can tell me that I'm going too far all you want to, and that's just not going to stop me. So my coach
has
taught me very well. He's had to put me in my place a couple times and scream and yell at me, stop being so dramatic and stop being a bitch. But he definitely knows that there's no stopping my train once it's going. It just
it
is.
I can see that. Last question regarding that post, and you kind of touched on this a little bit, but what would your life look like had you not taken this journey?
I would probably still be running. I'd probably have injuries up the ass now at this point for running too much. Cause it's hilarious. If you ask me to run now, I'm like, there's no damn way. And I used to run for fun. Like, what the hell was I doing? I would just be like, let's go for an 8 mile jog. Like, what was I doing? Like, now you're lucky if I walk for 10 minutes on the damn treadmill. Like, so I have no idea. I'd probably still be a runner, or maybe I wouldn't even be working out anymore at all. I have no idea.
Yeah. That's funny. Going on to the next post. This was a picture of you and a coworker at the time. I believe his name was Jim, and you were holding a Red Sox sweatshirt. And it looks like it was around his retirement time. Do you recall that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And the caption was, "This gentleman right here has not only been a great role model, FTO and wing car. He has been one of my best friends at the department since day one." And my question regarding that, who's the three biggest influences in your life?
Three biggest influences. Well, definitely my mother. I am more of my mother's child every day with things that I say and things that I do and an attitude that I have. Like, her and I are the same person. Like, she is my best friend for sure.
Okay. Are you the only child by chance?
I have four sisters.
Okay.
All older. I'm the youngest. I'm the baby.
Okay.
I'm trying to think. This is a really hard question. I don't know. I mean, I think that I would say I influence myself. I'm going to go with myself because I mean, I am my own motivation. Like I look at different things, but I give myself motivation to do stuff constantly. I'm always moving. Always trying to get things done. I would have to say at work, my sergeant that just retired, I'm not going to say his name, but
right.
He was at work. He was my biggest influence on who I am today, how I supervise, how I act on calls, how I talk to people. Just attitude wise, he would definitely be my biggest influence. And if he heard me say this today, he would be like in awe because I did not want him to retire. I was livid when he wanted to retire. I understand why, but like if I could have sabotaged his retirement papers and like lost them, you know, I absolutely would have.
Yeah, it's nice when you have someone like that that you can depend on and look up to. Because I know when I first started in this profession, I mean, like you say, going from what I was doing to a guy telling me that he's putting aluminum foil over his windows because the rays are coming in.
What in the hell? Like, and the best part is, there's people out in this world that have no idea what we deal with.
Yep.
Like they just wake up and they go to their perfect little job and then they come back home to their perfect little house with their family. And they have no idea that we were just at the neighbor's house for like a massive, you know, physical domestic. Like These people just have no idea what's going on around them.
Yep. That's crazy. Like I said, I've been out now almost 8 years. And I honestly don't think I could work in today's climate. I'm old school. And I talked about this on another podcast that I was a guest on, but I had the 3-strike rule. And that simply was when we first meet, you're going to get the absolute best me you would ever get. If I ask you to do something or move along or whatever it is, the second time, you're not going to like me so much. And the third time, let's just say there's not going to be a third time.
Yep.
So that was kind of my rule. And I don't think that would fly very well in today's world. But hey, I got out, you know, at a good time. I feel like I definitely missed a job. And I shouldn't say I missed a job. I missed the guys that I worked with because it was a lot of fun working with them. But, you know, it is what it is. Society has changed. And I think the profession needs to change with it. But that's a whole nother story. I don't even want to get into that.
Yeah. So,
kind of flip that question around a little bit. Who would you consider to be your role model just in life in general?
Definitely my mom. My parents are still together to this day. She should be retired, but she went into retirement and got bored and came back out of retirement. She's still the tradition. And this is probably why I'm not married yet, because I won't settle for anything. Okay. Just because I see how my parents' marriage is and how successful it is and amazing, and how, you know, when we all moved out, they fell in love all over again. But she is that traditional, goes to work, comes home, makes dinner, does the laundry, cleans. And I'm not saying that that's how it's supposed to be. You know, we're in 2021 now and all that stuff, but I like that. Like I like even being that woman for somebody, even though I work shift work. So
it's funny. It's not to cut you off first, but it's funny you say that, because just in a few minutes I've talked to you, I would not have guessed that about you.
Yeah. I'm literally wifey from day one. Like I love that traditional life. That's what I want. I mean, I feel like, and maybe you can agree with this or not, I feel like the home structure has broken down so much nowadays that tradition really isn't even there anymore. And I feel like that's kind of what held marriages together, you know, for so long, was that, you know, traditional lifestyle. So, I mean, that's still what I'm looking for. It's what I want, and I won't settle for it. It might not be as traditional as my parents are, but I definitely want something like that. I mean, my mom is super strong, super independent, super sassy. That's where I get it from. She don't take no bullshit ever, like from anybody. Yeah. She doesn't care who you are. Like she is same way. She's super calm, super nice, polite, professional. But once you cross her, like that's it. And unfortunately, that's what I got it from. So, I mean, she's definitely my role model. I still to this day cannot believe that she and my dad took care of all of us. And how did they afford it? I have no idea. Like we did sports, we did clubs, we had the nicest clothes. Like how in the hell, and you know, now I know because they didn't allow themselves to have all that nice stuff. They made sure that we had it. You know, they sacrificed, they worked the long hours. And so if I could be even half the woman that my mother is, I would be happy.
That's great. Yeah. It's funny because, you know, we've been married now for 28 years and we have two daughters. They're both grown now, but we just kind of had the same conversation, you know, because they didn't realize all the sacrifices we made so that they could get to where they're at, you know. And my wife was like, are we not normal? Because a lot of parents that we talk to nowadays, they don't do those things for their kids, you know. And like I have a buddy, he goes, my kids, they want to go to college, they got to pay for it. And I get everybody's situation is different. But for us, it was, if they don't get to college, where do they go? So we have to make sure we do everything we can to put them, to give them a good start, build them a good foundation. What they do upon that foundation after that is on them. But we feel like as their parents, then we have to build that foundation for them because they don't know. And it's funny because I heard another podcast. Joe Budden is a huge podcaster, ex-rapper and all this stuff. But his son was on his podcast. His son is 19 years old. And his son was talking about how he's afraid of the future because he doesn't know how to be an adult. And it was funny because his dad was like, dude, first of all, you haven't lived. And all those things that you're talking about, that comes from experience, which you don't have yet. And Joe Budden told his son, look, your grandfather did what he did to allow me to go further than he went. I'm doing what I'm doing to allow you to go further than I plan on going. You know, and it starts with that foundation. Now, once we get that foundation set up for you, what you do with it is on you, you know, but hopefully you will do the right thing and you will take it and build upon it for your kids, you know? Yep. So, yeah. So that's cool that, you know, you look up to your mom like that. What does life after police work look like for Ashley?
Oh, I have a plan. Okay. So I would like to get rental properties and be my own boss.
Okay.
And then I would also within the next probably year, I'd like to go back to school. I have a bachelor's. I would like to go back and get my master's in counseling. And I would like to open my own practice as a counselor where I work, you know, three times a week, you know, either remotely or in, you know, my own practice and collect my pension and do all the private stuff and then run my little rental properties.
Nice.
And not live in New York because of New York.
I've only been to New York once and I absolutely loved it. My wife and I, we just sat on the steps of some museum and we just watched people walk. We literally just sat there and watched people walk up and down the street and it was amazing. I mean, you see some of everything in New York, you know, we plan on getting back there. Going on to the next post here. This was a video of you in a pair of dark colored leggings and a black and white striped shirt. And the caption read, good girls are made of sugar and spice, but I'm a bad bitch made of whipped cream and ice. Happy hump day, y'all. You remember that post?
I don't. It sounds like me, so yeah. can you put it towards the camera and let me see which one it is?
Actually, I got to have them written down. I don't know if you can. You had on some dark colored leggings and it looked like a white plaid shirt or something that you had open and you had a song planned, something about bad bitch.
Oh my God. I do know what you're talking about. Yes, I do know what you're talking about.
Okay. And my question regarding that, what's the worst thing you ever did as a kid or an adult and got in trouble for?
Oh God, this is so easy. The one and only time I ever snuck out of my house to go get drunk with my friends in high school and try to sneak back into my house. And my dad locked the door and I went climbing through the window and I was intoxicated. So I fell all over the place and I just get up and my dad's looking at me and he's like, I'm waking up your mother. And I'm like, God, please don't just you discipline me. Cause he would get, I was like the star of his eye. So he would like never discipline me. He was such a soft dude. But I was terrified of my mother. And I was like, please God, don't. Yep. Comes out that bedroom, called all my friends' parents.
How old were you?
I was a freshman or a sophomore in high school. I was a little badass. Okay. Huh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I remember the first time I got drunk. I ever did that. What's that?
It was the last time I ever snuck out.
I bet. It's amazing how we do those things only once when mom and dad gets on us about it. Another question about that post. What is something you've done that you know you had no business doing and you actually got away with it?
Oh my goodness. I have no idea. So what's something I've done that I shouldn't mm-hmm. have?
That you shouldn't have been doing, but you actually got away with it.
Oh my God. I have no idea. Hard. I have no idea.
That's cool.
I can tell you the other day, I left the patrol camera back at the station and we were on our way to a call that I needed the patrol camera to. And if I didn't hurry up and stop and get it, the sergeant would have probably reamed me out. That's about the extent to it. I mean, I don't go around doing stuff I shouldn't be doing. So,
I mean, you know how sometimes we do. And it's like, I'll give you a perfect example. One night I was working and I go into this apartment complex. And they had a gate that went up and down to let you in. Well, the first car goes through, so I try to shoot through behind it, and the gate comes down and hits the car. So I'm like, oh, shit. So the scratch was enough where it was visible, but you had to really look to see it. So right after the run, I went to, I think it was Walgreens or somewhere, and I bought this scratch buff out stuff. Rubbed it on there, yeah.
Rubbed it on there,
it worked out good.
So. See, you can talk about stuff like that because you're retired.
Exactly, exactly. The last post I want to talk about. This was a post where it was someone speaking, and they said, "Tell me why your 30s are better than your 20s," and then you replied, "Just because." I don't give a fuck. you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
And then the caption read, I used to walk into a room full of people and wonder if they liked me. Now I look around and wonder if I like them. And my first question about that is, did you feel that way because you were not comfortable with who you were at the time?
I think it's because it's a mixture of things. I would say because unfortunately in law enforcement, if a female is hanging out with male counterparts, even though they're wing cars and even though it's on duty and you're sitting car to car, people will spread rumors. That happened to me a lot when I was younger. I'm the only female in my territory. So people would meet up with me just to hang out. People would meet up with me to try to hit on me. They knew I was single and rumors were just spread. So yeah. I did not make a ton of friends, you know, in the beginning because of that. I'm the new girl on the block. I'm attractive. Guys want to talk to me and hang out. Other people would get upset about it. So I think being younger, it was one of those things where not that I was insecure with myself because I'm not an insecure person. It was just, and this isn't an impossible task, but I would love to be loved by everybody. Like, I don't want to be mean to anybody. I don't want to do anything to hurt anybody. You know, if people would just give me the opportunity to get to know me before judging me, like I wish this world would be like that. We'd probably have world peace. My God. But I think that's just what it was like being younger and not really established yet. And, you know, not even knowing who I was and trying to grow up and mature on the job. Because, you know, 20 years old, I literally had zero life experience. So to be pushed into this job and to grow up on the job and learn and make mistakes and all that stuff. I think just now getting to my 30s, I'm 33 now, I've never been more confident, more secure in my life, more secure in my career, who I am, what I'm about, my morals, my values. I absolutely love being in my 30s. So I think that's just what that was out there was just like, listen, I just don't care about this crap anymore, like this younger years crap. I don't care if people don't like me anymore. I just, not everyone's going to like me and I need to realize that and accept that. And hey, that's fine. You know what? Haters still view my stuff and still give me views and likes. So that's what it is.
Yeah, exactly. I'll tell you a funny story. I forget how much time I probably had like 15, 16 years on a job at this point. And we had a new girl, shout out to Kelly, 19 years old, starting a job. And like you say, no life experience or anything. And I was having a bad day. And we go into briefing and the sergeant sets the lineup down and I'm riding with Kelly. So we get in the car and I look at her. I go, don't touch the radio. Don't touch anything. Just sit there. Don't say anything. I was having a bad day. And she goes, I thought you were the meanest person on the planet. I was just having a bad day. And we made it through the night. And a couple of days later, we got put together again. And it was raining this night. And she gets in the car and she's just absolutely quiet. And she later told me, she goes, "I was terrified of you." And we're on a run. Our first run was an alarm. And like I said, it had just finished raining. So we're walking around the building and we come upon this puddle. And she just jumps up and lands in a puddle and just totally covers me in water. All I could do was start laughing. And from that day forward, we were awesome together, you know, but it was just, you know, and I remember telling her, I said, "Look, the last thing I want to do is ride with some young white girl from the suburbs whose biggest decision in life is trying to decide which Dave Matthews Band sticker to put on her car." But like I say, we became really cool and we became really good friends after that. So yeah, I get that whole thing being young and just insecure and not knowing, you know, what to expect. And it kind of leads me into my next question about that. What kind of feedback or response do you get from the people? I don't want to say necessarily within your department, but the community. And I guess, yeah, you can say within the department about the things you're doing online.
So my department's pretty supportive. They get complaints. It is what it is. I do things pretty radically. The problem is I got on during a time that I blew up so fast. So there was, you know, no social media policy. There was no ramifications for anything. There was no, you know, guidelines and borders. And so I just press them all. That's just, if you haven't realized, it's my personality. I do that with everything that I do. I just press it all. And so I got to a point where it's so large that, you know, they either need to be on board or, you know, what else are they going to do? There's nothing that they can do now, you know? So they started, you know, harnessing it for them. Like I help with the department's social media. I help make videos for our department. I help make videos for the town. I'm always the one that's at anything for retirement wise, anything for event wise, anything for awards wise, anything for the businesses in the area. I help them make their videos. So it was good for them to like harness it and accept it. Like I said, I have haters. People make complaints about it. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry that you don't like me and I'm sorry that you don't like the content that I make, but unfortunately it's my personal page and I have the right to do it. I'm not doing anything illegal. You know, it's for me, it's nice that my colleagues accept it. Like they, I'll post something funny and they'll be like, "Dude, I watched your video today. It was freaking hilarious." Some of the old school guys have a little bit of difficult time accepting it because they don't have social media themselves, or some of them that do, you know, don't engage in, you know, risky stuff like that. So some of them have like a hard time with it, but otherwise, like all the new guys love it. They think it's absolutely hilarious. They think it's awesome. They ask me for advice all the time, where it comes for fitness or, you know, different supplements, different workouts, different police equipment that I've tried, you know, different recipes, all that stuff. So they love it. I'm just that my administration does support it. They do accept it and they allow it. Because it would suck if I ever had to, you know, change what I'm doing or change it up.
Yeah, that's great, because it kills me when I ask officers to come on the show and I get it from their perspective and they say, "Well, you know, I have to check with my department," or, you know, "We can't do that." And I think, in, especially in today's society, departments need to embrace social media and allow officers to be themselves. I mean, as long as you're not out there, you know, obviously, you know, doing stupid shit. You know, but if you're doing things that are moving the profession forward, or, you know, your personal interests forward, and you're not causing any type of bad look for the department or anything like that, or the profession, then they should embrace that. And more departments are, but I don't think it's to the point where they realize that the benefit that they could really gain with trust in the community by allowing their officers to be on social media like that, you know. And it's funny because that's how this podcast got started. This was originally was supposed to be a Facebook show. And it was extremely hard to get officers to go on camera to talk about their personal lives. And then back in 2020, when the pandemic hit, that's when I got the idea, you know, because I started getting more into Instagram. And I started seeing people like yourselves who weren't afraid to put themselves out there and be seen. You know, I said, "Well, hell, let me reach out to some of these people. They're already on social media. They're not afraid to put themselves out, and it'll probably be good conversation." And lo and behold, it's worked out like that. You know, so kudos to your department for embracing it and allowing you to be yourself and do your thing.
Yeah, this is my thing. I just want to get this out there super quick, is my frustration with people not liking law enforcement to be on social media is this. How is it okay for everybody else in the world to be able to have a personal life and do personal things that might be, you know, way out there, you know, push the limit of things, but it's not okay for us? Here's the thing. Right. No officer's ever off duty. We sure are. Yeah. Okay. I don't care what anybody says, we are. When I get out of work, I am done with work. If anything ever happens that I have to step in to intervene, of course I will do it. But otherwise, off duty podcast. I am off duty. I am no longer a police officer. I am no longer going to hold myself to that accountability. I'm not working. I'm not in a bulletproof vest. I'm not wearing my uniform. I'm not getting paid. So that's where my frustration comes in, because if I have a personal life and I want to do something like bodybuilding's modeling, the outfits that I wear on social media, the ones that I get complaints about being scandalous, my bikini for summertime has less covering than the panties and the sports bras I wear, but that's okay. Yeah. But the other stuff I wear, people complain about. I'm sorry that you don't like that, or you don't like your husband to look at my page. Block me then. I'm not really sure. Or hey, you know what? Message me and I'll help you with your fitness journey and you can look like this. Like, it's just frustrating to me because people are like, cops should be held to a higher standard. Well, no, we really shouldn't, because I'll be held to a higher standard when I'm at work and I'll do my job to the best of my ability that I can do. But when I'm off duty, I'm a human being just like everybody else. I should be able to live my life how I want to. I don't go to your house and say to you, you shouldn't be posting social media. You're a teacher. Or you shouldn't be posting on social media. You're a manager of a plant. Or you shouldn't be posting that on social media because you work at a gas station. Well, why should people say that about us? And so that's why I feel like people are like, well, my agency won't allow me. Well, who the hell is your agency to be able to tell you what you should and should not do in your life?
Right.
24 hours a day, by all means, you can tell me what to do. But until that day happens, I'm sorry. I don't support that. And it's hypocritical and I'm sick of it. We're in 2021 now. If they want us to be humans, they say, law enforcement, you need to stop acting like robots and you need to be more human-like and you need to be more compassionate and empathetic. Okay. We absolutely will. But then you're going to leave us alone in our personal lives. Because if we want to do something like you normal human beings, like you guys are, can't be hypocritical and hold us at different standards. I've had enough of it. That's my frustration.
I hear you. And I agree 100%. Going to go ahead and move on to the next segment here. And this is what I call the Random 7. Like I told you earlier, I got a bunch of people that sent me questions that they wanted to ask you. And the first one came from DeMarco 3670, I think, or 70. I think he calls himself Paul. Wheelchair. Okay. And his question was, what shows do you plan on competing at this year? OG Arnold Olympia.
I'm not sure. So I am shooting for one in August, maybe, if I can. So my plan is to lean out and see where I'm at body composition wise. If I've made the gains that the judges have suggested I make, then I will try to compete in August. If I have not, I'm going to immediately go back off season for another full year, try to make those gains, and then try to compete probably September of 2022.
How often do you compete?
I try to do it once a year, except for this year, I took a full year off.
Okay.
So if I can't make this August, but I look really good, I might shoot for some shows in the fall, but I have absolutely nothing locked down.
Gotcha. The next question comes from American Airman 1987. And he wants to know, are you ticklish?
Not really, actually. No.
Do you know who that is?
No.
Okay. Neither do I. But that was his question. Next question comes from just a Dyson V8, I believe is his handle. And he wanted to know, did you play high school sports?
I did. I did swimming and diving, gymnastics, cheerleading, and track.
Where'd you run in track?
I did the 400, which was awful. I don't know why I did that. Absolutely hated every single minute, but I was really good at it. I did the 200 relay, and then I did the 200 hurdles. And then little old 5'4 me did the high jump.
Wow. Wow. What was your record?
God, I can't remember.
Or I should say your highest. You remember?
No idea.
Okay.
No idea.
Next question comes from real Jeremy Summers, and he wants to know funniest call or story that you can share related to the job.
Okay, this one's easy. This is always my answer when somebody asks me the question. So everybody knows me at the department for having a small bladder and for drinking gallon jugs. I always bring a gallon with me to work. Always finish. My goal is to finish it in an 8-hour tour. So I pee every single hour at least. So we get dispatched to a person in crisis. And I get there and the guy left. I was very familiar with him. Every time his baby mama wouldn't bring his child for custody, he would threaten suicide. So I'm like, here we go. We're such on good terms that I can call him and be like, where the hell are you? Get back here. You know, you have to go to CPAP kind of situation. So we do that. Well, he's not there. And well, we're knocking on the door. Nobody's answering. So his girlfriend that lives with him, his new girlfriend, it's like the key on top. I'm giving you permission to key in there. We're like, okay. So we key into the apartment, clear the apartment. Nobody's there. Like, okay. Go out into the parking lot. I call him. He's like, I'm in an hour away. I was like, no, you're not. You just left. I'll be back as soon as I can. Okay. Well, call me when you're on your way back. I'm in the parking lot. So I'm sitting there and like 35, 45 minutes go by and I'm sitting car to car with my sergeant, the one that's retired now. And I'm like, dude, I'm like, so now we have 4 SWAT units there because he said he had a gun. He's going to blow his head off. Even though we cleaned the apartment, we didn't find a gun, anything like that. So we have 4 SWAT units there. 2 are watching the back, 2 are watching the side. And then there's only 3 sides to it. Then me and sergeant, and there's 2 other units roaming around. And then me and the sergeant in the front. So I was like, dude, I'm like, I have to go pee so freaking bad. And he's like, well, he's like, what are you going to do? He's like, he's going to be back here any minute. You can't go to the gas station. It's like, you know, 10 minutes away with traffic. And I was like, okay, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to key into this guy's apartment. I'm going to go use his bathroom real quick. And he's like, Ashley, what the fuck? He's like, hurry up. All right. So I go in there, key back in. This dude is sitting at his dining room table with a fully loaded shotgun.
Wow.
Yep. So he, good job, SWAT dudes.
Completely
stuck in the backslider. Without them seeing, without them paying attention, snuck in. So hurry up, get him in cuffs, call out over the air. I'm like, you know, my unit number. I'm like, I got one in custody. All I hear is car doors slamming and everybody running, just sprinting towards me. Get in. The sergeant's like, what the hell happened? I tell him what happened. He's like, thank God for your bladder. Thank God for your bladder. So I have never lived that down. Like,
wow, that's crazy.
Like 8 years ago that happened. Still to this day, people remember that.
Wow. Yeah, that's crazy. Good thing you had some kind of rapport with this guy.
Yeah, thank God. I mean, he didn't have hands on or anything, but it was sitting right there in front of him. Like,
that's nuts.
Who knows? If I could have waited 10 more minutes, he might have blown his head off. Like, we have no idea.
Right. Wow. That's crazy. 2 more here. The next question, if humans came with a warning label, what would yours say?
Oh my God, it would be very long. It would say something along the lines of, don't bother me unless I engage in conversation with you. I don't know. Stand back, I'm spicy. I have no idea. Because people approach me at the gym all the time and oh my God, it's so frustrating. Like literally mid-set, people would be like, oh my God, hey, let me talk to you. And I have my headphones and I'm like, I have no idea what you're saying to me right now.
I have to imagine that can be pretty aggravating sometimes when you're trying to just do your thing and get out and people just want to constantly talk to you.
Yep.
Last question. If you were reincarnated as an animal, based on your personality, what animal do you think you would come back as?
Based on my personality, probably a lioness.
Okay.
If you ask me what dog I would, or if you ask me what I would like to become, I would like to be a golden retriever in a very rich person's home with like 17 kids. And it was a very nice home. That's what I would like.
Very specific there.
Like this beautiful family. Yes.
Yeah, like that's cool.
It's either like a pit bull or something like that.
Yeah. All right, Ashley, let's get on to the last segment here. And this is this or that. I'm going to give you 2 topics and you pick one and you can explain why. You don't really have to go into detail as to why you selected. All right. Some of them are pretty straightforward. And the first one is mind reader or psychic?
Oh my gosh, mind reader or psychic? I don't want to know what happens in the future, so I'm going to go with mind reader.
Okay. I I agree with that.
I would rather not know. Because, like, what's the point? If I'm going to know, like, at, you know, 37 and a half, I'm going to die of a car accident, well, that would suck. I would just be right. the rest of my life. So yeah. I would rather read minds.
I agree. Next one. Tina Turner or Whitney Houston?
Oh, my goodness. Whitney Houston. Okay. Why? I just think she's awesome.
Yeah, she was.
I don't know much about Tina Turner other than that one song she sings.
You would like Tina. Go back and check out some of her history. I think you would really like her. The next one, face your enemy or face your fear?
I wonder who my enemy is. I don't know who my enemy is. And I don't really have, I have this fear of spiders. I'd rather face my enemy. Bring it the frig on. I thrive in confrontation, so.
The next one, potato chips, plain barbecue or sour cream?
Like, is it sour cream and onion? Mm-hmm. Oh, God, yeah, those all day. Well, I would rather like the cheddar sour cream, but we'll go with the sour cream and onion.
Okay. The next one, shake it off or shake it up?
Probably shake it off.
Okay. Shake it off and keep it moving.
Because I used to be the latter. Like, I used to be the, like, I would confront somebody right back, like, right away. Now, kind of like, again, I'm in my 30s. I'm like, I really just don't care. Like somebody I don't know or someone that doesn't affect me personally, I'm like, I just don't care.
I hear you. Four more here. Recliner or rocking chair?
Recliner.
I agree. And the next one, puppies or kittens?
Puppies.
Okay. Flat tire or run out of gas?
Run out of gas. Okay, I'll have Snowbird Patrol come pick me up and I'll go get it. I don't want to pay for a new tire.
And the last one, Katy Perry or Taylor Swift?
Taylor Swift.
Awesome. Awesome. Ashley, listen, I truly, truly appreciate you coming on the podcast and talking with me. I've had a pleasure. One more time, if you can go ahead and just give out your IG handle again, please.
It's at Officer Ashley Smith.
Thank you. And guys, there will be a link to that down in the show notes. Anything else you want to promote or a link you want to give out?
Just thank you for having me. And any supplement needs, I'm with SteelFit USA. It's my favorite company in the whole world. I use almost everything that they have. If you have any CBD needs, I'm with Shell Shock CBD. I post all the time. If you have anyone has any questions about either of those things, obviously feel free to contact me.
Great. Great. Guys, please go over and check Ashley out on IG. Again, she's doing some amazing things in the fitness area and doing her part to humanize the badge. So please follow her. Go over and say hello. Check it out. She's doing some good things. And last thing before we get out of here, you guys know every Monday I give out a free vacation voucher to Vegas, Myrtle Beach, or Orlando, Florida. And we've actually expanded it now. The last week's winner got a voucher to Hawaii. And so all you have to do to enter is text off duty to 833-989-3124. That's off duty to 833-989-3124. Enter once and you're entered for the rest of the year. And make sure you do that because we give them out every Monday at 12 o'clock. On that note, guys, we are out of here. You guys take care. Appreciate you. Stay safe, everybody. Talk to you guys later. Bye-bye.